This is Matt Chittum, and you're listening to the Run to the Top podcast.
Welcome, my fellow runners, to the Run to the Top podcast. I am the planted runner, Coach Claire Bartholik, and if you are listening on your run today, I hope it's going well, and if not, hang in there and let me distract you for a little while. Change your focus a little bit, and more often than not, the run ends up being better than when you started. If you are new to the show, the Run to the Top is one of the very first and most downloaded running podcasts on the planet. It is produced and created by the team at runnersconnect.net. And at this point, we have literally helped thousands of runners, just like you, crush their running goals with free content like the Run to the Top and with our custom coaching packages. Our passion is to make you a better runner every single day. And we're stepping up our efforts to reach out to you with more fun and free running and training advice. So join us on Instagram at Runners Connect and The Planted Runner, or over on YouTube at Runners Connect. My guest today is someone that I've wanted to talk to for a while. And my guess is that many of you have had his voice in your ears on a run or two too. But if not, you're definitely going to want to soon. Matt Chittum is the man behind the popular Rambling Runner podcast, where he talks to dedicated amateur runners who are crushing it, but also have real lives to balance. On the other end of the spectrum, he also hosts the Road to the Trials podcast, which follows the training, racing, and experiences of some of America's best runners as they prepare for the Olympic trials. It's a super cool concept because I know I love stories from the best of the best, but it's the non-pros who still manage to do amazing things that I'm honestly inspired by the most. Matt started out running mainly for other sports, but is now fully invested in the running community. He is currently working through a year-long journey called Mastering 40, in which he's hoping to break 40 minutes in the 10K after turning 40 years old. And as Matt will tell you, that is not an easy task for him. And honestly, it's not clear if he'll be able to check that box or not. Matt has a very unique perspective on the running community from his time behind the mic, and he shares his opinions on the differences between the elites and the rest of us, as well as giving us a peek into how his own training is going. Before we get into the conversation, if you're looking for the best way to increase focus and performance during your long runs and workouts, you'll love the new Perform from The Amino Company. I'll tell you more about them later in this episode, or you can check out the research at aminoco.com/RTTT. And now, here's the rambling runner, Matt Chittum. Welcome to the Run to the Top, Matt.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you so much for asking me.
Yeah, I'm delighted to have you. Most of us know you from your podcast, The Rambling Runner. I would love to go back to the beginning and talk about how that all got started and how is it going now?
Yeah, well, hey, first of all, thank you for having me on. Your audience is actually bigger than mine is, I think. So if people have listened to my show, I certainly appreciate it. We're going to be coming up on our 4-year anniversary this summer for the show. And, you know, how it started is, you know, it's kind of one of those random things that you start in your life and you have no expectations for, and then all of a sudden starts gaining momentum. But, you know, several years ago, I was a fundraiser at Providence College, which is the job. So I had that job at the time. I got to know our VP of marketing well. He was also a big sports guy, just like I am. And I would always get on them like, hey, like, I like podcasts. You like podcasts. You're interviewing all these people for the alumni magazine and the website. Why don't you just record the interviews that you're doing, put them out as a podcast? You know, you're already doing all of these interviews all the time. So I must have harangued him for 6 months, right? It got to the point where it was just kind of like an inside joke that he knew I was going to bug him about it. And then finally, he's like, hey, I got the equipment. we're going to do the podcast. We're really excited about it. I'm like, hey, Joe, that's great. You know, congratulations. Right. And I start walking away. He goes, no, but there's one catch. You're going to be the host. Like, I didn't report to this man. He was not in my, I was a fundraiser. He was in marketing. The only reason we saw each other, because we happened to be on the same floor, the same building, but we did not have any overlap whatsoever. Once my boss semi warmed up to the idea of me doing it, we started it, and it was one of the first college podcasts out there. And it wasn't this big, huge success or anything, even though Promise College has 50,000 alumni, we would get like 100 or 200 listeners per episode.
Okay.
It was basically nothing. But that's kind of the framework where I started from. So it was a weekly interview podcast, similar to what I'm doing now, frankly. Mm-hmm. Several months later, Anchor switched from being basically audio Twitter, which is not a great idea. And they basically pivoted their business model into basically podcast in a box. All you needed was a phone. In this case, an iPhone. They hadn't, they didn't have an Android app yet. But so all you needed was an iOS phone and you were good to go. So for me, the biggest hurdle for the podcast was always the technical side. Cause you know this, right. You needed the producer, you needed all this equipment, which was certainly a significant barrier to entry for a lot of people. All of a sudden there was no barrier to entry. All you needed was a phone and an idea. And I had plenty of ideas. So that I was on their mailing list. I got that email. 3 hours later, I started the Rambling Runner podcast with the idea of there's a lot of running podcasts out there that I really liked. And the vast majority of them were talking to professional runners.
Right.
And I still listen to those podcasts. I still listen to Ali's podcast, right? I still listen to Lindsay's podcast, to Carrie's podcast, to Run of the Top, all this stuff, right? Tina's podcast. You know, I know there's some crossover there as well.
Right.
And I was like, all right, well, no one's talking to amateur runners. Let's do that. I had no idea this was going to go anywhere. For the most part, it was more of like, hey, I just want to talk to these people. And if I can record it and put it on a podcast and someone else listen to it, fine. I don't care if anyone listens. I just want to talk to, you know, Shawana White and all these other people just for my own sake.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And for the first 6 months, no one did listen, which was fine because I didn't expect anyone to listen. So after about 6 months, I basically used the podcast as an opportunity to practice digital and social media marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't do that at work because if I posted the wrong thing, then I might get in hot water. So I was like, hey, I'll just post it on my podcast. And no one cares about that anyway. So what's there to lose? And, you know, the first 6 months, the show had 8,000 downloads in total in 6 months. Okay. The following 12 months, it had almost 1 million.
Wow. What do you would attribute the growth to?
There's so many things. There's not one silver bullet. You know, I branded the show a little better. I got, you know, a real logo. The Anchor app started to improve. So the audio quality got better. I got used to I learned kind of the tricks of how to make the audio sound better. I got better at editing it. This is when I used to edit the show at the time. I would, you know, make it so the guests were able to share the show easier. So it'd come up with better, better pictures and formatting so they could share the show. I started recording twice a week instead of once a week. And sometimes once every 2 weeks when I first started. So that also helped. And then just basically the guerrilla marketing of just going one-on-one with people on Instagram and really trying to interact with people, not only people who were listening to the show, but people who were, so say, Claire, say you were on the show and then you shared your experience on your Instagram feed. I would then be in your Instagram comments, interacting with people commenting on your post, like, oh, I'm so glad that you liked the show or whatever.
I was
kind of involved in doing that as well. And just kind of step by step by step and just kind of building up. And it just, just kind of kept growing and growing. And then I really enjoyed doing it. And that was the other part.
Yeah. Well, you definitely can tell that you enjoy doing it. What have been some of your most memorable interviews? Anything stick out at you?
I would say, again, this is so hard, right? I mean, this question of you, you'd be like, oh, no.
I think I could answer that one. I could answer that one. But go ahead. You're on the hot seat now.
I would say for me, the most memorable one was having Des Linden on the show. Now, podcast is for and about dedicated amateur runners. So obviously she does not qualify.
No, she does not.
With that said, we did a short little series called Rerun, where we basically like went back and looked at some famous races. And I had an interview with like basically people on the show, and we talked about the race after the fact. So this was like a couple of years after her win in Boston. Had her on the show. We basically did a complete deep dive into the race, like mile by mile.
Oh,
what
wow.
happened and why and what fed into it. And kind of like, if you know, if you ever listen to this show, The Rewatchables,
that
The Ringer
no.
does, basically they take a movie and do the same thing. Right.
Okay.
So like they basically have a podcast that's just as long as the movie talking about the movie.
Okay.
Like all of the stuff, and they research it, and how did this actor get picked? What choices were made during the movie and all of that stuff. So I did a podcast like that with Des Linden because one time she sent me a DM saying, hey, I really liked your episode with, I don't even remember who it was. And I was like,
yeah.
wait.
And you're like,
you
oh my God.
You listen to the show? Are you serious? So that was nice.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. Well, I mean, that sounds like definitely a deep dive into running nerd territory.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who's still on your list of people at your dream interview?
That's the thing, is that I don't really have a list like that because oftentimes the people who end up becoming such great guests who have a significant impact on the listeners are people who I might not even know like 3 weeks before they came on the show, because I'm interviewing dedicated amateur runners and like there's no like, you know, index of these folks just
right.
lying around that I can tap into. So oftentimes sometimes the runners themselves contact me like, hey, I just did XYZ. I don't know if that's something you're looking for on the show, but if it is, I'd be happy to come on. Or like their friend sends me a message or something like that. Right. So that oftentimes
right.
it gets to that point. One person that everyone recommends and I think would be interesting would be like David Goggins to have on.
Sure.
Right? So David Goggins has been on plenty of shows and people have read his book and it's done very, very well. And I think the reason I'd want to have him on is because people, you know, I'm guilty as this as anybody. It's like I read like 50 pages of every book I've ever purchased. And I usually don't get past that point for a variety of different reasons. Like every book upstairs in my room has like a bookmark at like page 50 in it from like 12 years ago. Right. So if you did that with David Goggins' book, then you would miss the punchline at the end where he basically says, don't do what I did.
Right.
There are so many. If I could go back, this is what I would change. This is what I would do. This is what I would not do. And a lot of people don't get to that point. And that's not the reader's fault necessarily. But I was listening to a podcast just the other day. And it was with one of the best ultra runners in the world. And she was talking about how like, oh, she doesn't agree with David Goggins because of XYZ. And it was interesting because like what she was saying, David Goggins doesn't agree with that either.
Right.
But she just knows him from like the YouTube clips
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So I think that would be an interesting conversation to kind of get into like the sides of him that people don't know. But if someone doesn't take a deep dive, they might not realize that like even he isn't the biggest proponent of the things that he's done.
Sure. Sure. Well, you've got another show called Road to the Trials, which obviously interviews the best of the best, the elite Americans, you know, who are gunning for the Olympic trials. So you have interviewed your share of elites and you've interviewed your share of just recreational runners. What would you say is the difference between the two?
Oh, man, so many. You know, it's interesting because you have. So I can think there's more similarities than there are differences in a mm-hmm. lot of ways. I think some of the differences are that people don't understand just how gifted these runners are. And I'm all for the idea of like, hey, you put in the time and effort and that you are just scratching the surface of your potential. Right. And I believe that for so many people. With that said, professional athletes in any sport are incredibly gifted athletes.
Sure.
And I think that the thing that it's easy to miss sometimes for dedicated amateur runner, and sometimes they hold themselves to too high a standard, is that, you know, these folks, they were awesome at running the minute they started running.
Sure.
Right. Again, yeah. They've gotten a lot better since then. They work incredibly hard. And it's not just nature or nurture type situation either. But they're professional athletes for a reason. just like someone's in the NBA or the NFL or professional soccer for a reason, right? Like these folks are incredible genetic gifts. And that's the thing, is an important thing for people to understand. In addition to that, they also work harder than the amateur runners, and they've worked harder for longer. So they started with a head start, and then they've worked more and for longer. And it's incredible what they do in terms of the consistency year after year after year. In addition to that, they do all the little things. I was talking to a PT, not on the show, but just in life. And they were talking about how they love working with professional runners. I'm like, oh, of course. Like, why wouldn't you? Like, that wouldn't be the thing to say, right?
They probably do what they're told more than we do.
That's it. I was like, of course you would prefer to work with Molly Huddle instead of me, right? Like, that's no joke. He goes, no, that's not the reason. The reason is that if I tell Molly Huddle to do something, she's going to do it, and she's going to do it all the time. He goes, when I tell you to do something, sometimes you do it, and other times you don't, and you're really not that consistent. And it was interesting. So I'm like, all right, so she's more talented and she works harder than I do, and that's a pretty good combination.
Like many runners, I am always on the lookout for ways to increase my focus and performance during long runs and workouts. But mid-workout nutrition seems to always center on carbohydrates and fueling. But there's more to performance than just fueling. That's why I'm so happy I recently discovered Perform from the Amino Company. Perform is an amino acid-based formulation that I simply add to my water bottle during my run. It tastes great and is easy on my stomach. Clinical studies have shown that Perform helps improve endurance, reduce fatigue, and increases muscle protein synthesis, so you recover faster after the run. The research also shows that Perform can help improve concentration and focus during long workouts, something many runners struggle with during those tough final miles or repeats. I obviously love the boost I feel when taking Perform, but I appreciate even more that it's all backed by actual science. In fact, you can check out all the research at aminoco.com/RTTT. If you're interested in giving Perform a try, we've got a special offer for you where you can save 30% by using the code RC30. Just head to aminoco.com/RTTT. That's aminoco.com/RTTT and use the code RC30 at checkout to save 30%.
Of course you would prefer to work with Molly Huddle instead of me, right? Like, that's no joke. He goes, no, that's not the reason. The reason is that if I tell Molly Huddle to do something, she's going to do it, and she's going to do it all the time. He goes, when I tell you to do something, sometimes you do it and other times you don't, and you're really not that consistent. And it was interesting. So I'm like, all right, so she's more talented and she works harder than I do. And that's a pretty good combination.
All right. That's a good answer for sure. So you have a new series within your podcast that I would love for you to talk about called Mastering 40. What's all that about?
All right. So last summer I was coming off the worst athletic year of my life. I was injured a lot. I got so out of shape. I gained like 20 pounds. It was a disaster.
So, it was the pandemic. So you're not the only one, right?
I couldn't blame it on the pandemic. That's for sure. I definitely couldn't. Some of it was just injuries that I couldn't blame anybody for either. But needless to say, I was not in a great spot physically. That was 100% true, no matter the reasons. So I wanted to put a big goal out there. So I was 39 at the time. I just turned 40 in January. And I said, all right, I'm going to set a big goal. I want to set a PR in the 10K. And I haven't run a lot of 10Ks, but like, all right, let's see if I can break 40 in the 10K. So I have broken 20 in the 5K several times. Not recently. I think the last time was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
But I was kind of in that fitness range for a while, though. So there were times where I'm at that fitness range. It just didn't happen to race a 5K in the last few years. But I haven't run a lot of 10Ks. So I was like, all right, let's see if I can break 40 in the 10K. I'm also turning 40 in January, so we'll just call it mastering 40. There's a little symmetry there. And with the idea of, all right, if I dedicate myself to improving over the course of the year, can I get there? And again, I was coming from a place where my fitness was in the toilet. It was nowhere. So I had hurt my back. I'd hurt my knee. I'd hurt my ankle. I like had run like consecutively for like, I've run like two consecutive months in a year. So it was a...
Can I ask, what were you thinking?
Well, I needed it.
Yeah.
Because what I worried is that, because I had gone, at that point, I had gone several years in a row where like a progressive, I was getting worse each year. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I could not chalk it up to age, right? Like, this is my late 30s. Like, I know plenty, I interviewed plenty of runners on my show who started running at 40.
Right.
Never mind, like, got slower at 40. You know what I mean? Like, they started running at 40, and at 46, they break 3 hours in the marathon. Again, these are also, they weren't like born unathletic people, but these are huge accomplishments. So I'm like, all right, I have no excuse. I talk to these people every day. I need to set a big goal, but one that's not completely unreasonable. And this is the other thing too, is I talked to my coach. I'm like, hey, is this something I could do? I don't want to set a goal just for show and then have no chance of accomplishing it.
Right.
And, his feeling was that, no, it was definitely, it was a stretch goal, but it was something that could be accomplished.
Okay. So how's it going?
Up and down.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, things were going well. Slow build. I mean, literally in August, I was coming off of an injury. So I was on August 1st, I was run walking. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't just like getting into it right away, you know? So every month was getting better and better and better. In January, I was running almost 40 miles a week and had been at that level for a while. And it got to the point of like, okay, you need to take it to the next level here. So I had a call with my coach beginning of February, like, all right, like you've been 37 to 39 miles a week. We need to bump you up. Right. That's kind of like the groove that you've been at for years now when you're healthy.
Right. Well,
you're trying to do something new here. We need to get to a new level. Like a day later, I hurt my knee.
Oh no.
So instead of,
and it wasn't running, it wasn't running, right? Is that what I heard?
I'm not, still not sure. Like I think I twisted it just kind of like bumping around the house, but I don't think it was just that. I don't know. It still is kind of a mystery because it took me so much longer to return than I expected. So I thought this was gonna be like a 3 day injury. It turned out to be a 5 week injury.
Wow.
So I basically didn't run for 5 weeks, which was the exact opposite direction I was hoping to go. So here I am. I'm back. Ran all last week. Ran today. Ran really well today. Did strides after my run. So I'm hoping to get back at it. I don't have a lot of room for error anymore, Claire. That's for sure. If I had any to begin with, I have zero now. That's for sure.
So you have a big, like a date. Is it August or when's the time trial?
I don't have a date. I would prefer it not to be a time trial.
Okay.
I prefer it to be an actual race.
Okay.
So races, as you know, are opening up across the country. It's not just, you know, select places here and there. So, you know, I actually do have two races on my calendar now just to like get used to racing again. Because it's been a while. Like, and this is the thing too, it's one of the things I've learned through the show is that just like anything else, racing is a skill. It's not just a test of fitness.
Absolutely.
And I have traditionally not race very often, right? So I have a young family and it's like, all right, do you take time away to do the race? And then also like, I like psych myself out of the races a lot. So they haven't been that pleasurable. So I like was easy to rationalize not doing them, but I need to get them on the calendar. I need to get used to racing. So I got a race, you know, I think it's in 3.5 weeks. And I got one another one 4 weeks after that. Those aren't like the race necessarily. They're just some races. So I do want to do a 10K, preferably in August, and I'm willing to travel for it. So I live in Rhode Island. So if there's one in southeastern New England that I can do and just drive to, great. But if I have to make it a little adventure, I'm also okay with that too.
Yeah. You got to find a flat one, right? You guys have a lot of hills up there.
Does Mount Revel do 10Ks? I know they're famous for their downhill marathons, which I don't think I can do. I don't think my quads are strong enough for a downhill marathon, but I can do a downhill 10K.
I have done one of those races. They are deceptively challenging. But But, you know, some people are great at them, some are not. But I don't know, a downhill 10K sounds great. Right? Maybe maybe that's a new thing we could start.
We can take, you know, Mount Washington has the run up Mount Washington. It's like an 8-mile trek, and it's like, it's a beast of a run. So Mount Washington is up in New Hampshire, you know, not far from where I am. And it's a very hard race. There's limited entries. Like, I don't think I could, that's really difficult.
Yeah.
I can do the opposite.
Not in 40 minutes.
I can do the opposite. I can run down Mount Washington.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It sounds good. That sounds good. So what are all the other things you're doing? What's training like? Nutrition, sleep, all that good stuff. Like how are you doing on those areas?
I'm better than I was this time last year.
Okay.
That's for sure. So, sleep, I probably get around 6.5 hours of sleep per night during the week. So 6 to 6.5 on the weekends, it's probably closer to 7, 7.5. Mm-hmm. Which for some people, that's probably not a lot. For me, that's like, that's great. There was a time in my life I was getting like 4 or 5.
Oh my God.
I had kind of like when I was balancing 2 full-time jobs and running and the family, it was a lot.
Yeah.
So as I was doing the podcast was like a full-time job, but I had a full-time job.
Right.
And I like would like to run since I had a running podcast. So I had to fit that in somewhere.
Yes.
The sleep is going pretty well. The nutrition, that's been a challenge.
In what way?
In the way that at the beginning of this, on the counsel of someone who I really respected, I was eating a lot and it probably just ended up being too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, and I know weight's a hard topic. It can be a really triggering topic for a lot of people, and I understand that. So I'm saying this just in relation to me. This is what happened with me. I gained 6 pounds in 6 weeks after I started this process. It's like, that is not the direction I'm trying to go.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go in the other direction.
Yeah.
Again, I wasn't eating the worst foods in the world, but I was eating so much.
I think that's the big part of it. Yeah. People say all the time, oh, I eat a healthy diet. I just eat 4 times as much as I'm supposed to.
Right. And again, and I think that the person I was working with, I think was probably used to working with people who are under fueling.
Right.
I wasn't under fueling. That wasn't my issue. So I went from probably over fueling a little bit, but also not working out a lot to like, all right, now I'm working out more and I'm mm-hmm. eating like 1,000 more calories than I had been in the past. So, I stopped doing that and I lost some weight, but I probably wasn't eating the best foods I could. And so Inside Tracker is one of the companies that's been sponsoring me through this journey, and they've been really good. And we've been tracking my blood work and biomarkers. And I had a test come back about a month ago and it wasn't good. It was not, my lipid panel was awful. So,
uh-oh.
You know, my cholesterols were horrible. I think my total cholesterol was 310. Yeah.
Whoa, not good.
Again, cholesterol is also like, is very personal thing too, right? Like I've always had a higher cholesterol count mm-hmm. than some other people, right? Like
sure.
I remember my cholesterol was taken when I was 18. It was like 205. Right. And I was extremely healthy. I was a college basketball player. I didn't even eat that bad. It was just like, I have a higher cholesterol, I think, than just my baseline is maybe higher than other people's baselines.
Sure.
With that said, 310 is way too high.
Yes.
So my LDL was, or maybe it was the bad one. It's the HDL. Anyway.
So, LDL is bad. Yeah.
Okay. So LDL was, I think, awful. It was awful too. like really, really bad. Again, so I don't want to go. I'd prefer not to go on statins right now. So now I'm kind of morphing into more plant-based eating. I can't say that it's not every meal.
Sure. Right?
I think a lot of it's basically everything but dinner.
Okay.
For the most part.
Yeah.
And with dinner, it's like there might be some meat on the plate, or like I'm eating at family's house. Like I'll eat what they're eating for the most part, but I can also tailor it, right? In terms of like, all right, you'll have more of this and less of that and things like that. So I'm going down that road, and hasn't been seamless.
Yeah.
But I'm trying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, nobody told us that progress is linear. So, I think it's cool that you're documenting the ups and the downs, because honestly, I think more people can relate to your journey than some of the journeys of the people that you interview. But let's talk real quick about Road to the Trials. So that seems like a fun project. Do you have, why don't you explain a little bit more about what that's about and who you bring on the show?
Yes, we have season two started a little while ago, maybe about 6 weeks ago. Season one was getting ready for the marathon trials. So that was really enjoyable. And then we had season two lined up and then everything got postponed a year. So then we started it, I think it was in February. And this is great. So basically the idea is taking an inside look into the training and racing of some of America's best runners as they prepare for the Olympic trials. So taking a look into exactly what they're doing physically and mentally to prepare to have, hopefully for them, the best running year of their life to date as they prepare for the trials. So that's the idea behind it. And we're lucky to get six people that not only are incredibly fast, but also really engaging and really fun to talk to. So we got Kira D'Amato, Olivia Baker, and Dana Giordano on the women's side. On the men's side, we got Frank Lara, Tyler Day, and Abe Alvarado. A lot of them run different events, which is also fun. Thinking about, should I include the jumps and the weight, you know, and the throws? I'm like, all right, we're sitting with six people, so we're going to stick to the running. But they're doing different events, which is also fun to take a look at. And it's interesting to see how they get through it, because some of these folks are injured too.
Yeah.
And that's not what you want in Olympic year. But also when you're running on that edge, which they all do in order to kind of make sure that they're at their peak at the right time, it's easy for something to crop up. So I'm, you know, after our conversation, I'm going to be recording a call with Kira D'Amato.
Yeah, I had her a couple months ago on the show. Yeah she's great.
There you go. Yeah, so she wasn't able to do the Gate River run because of an injury. Like she had planned on doing it. She came on the show, talked all about it, and it wasn't able to run it. So we're going to talk about, all right, now what's that like? But, you know, how serious was the injury? You know, what do you have to do? You know, how do you decide not to run versus to run? What did you do from a training perspective? How did you modify things? How do you modify things from a PT perspective? Who do you see? When do you see them? What kind of exercise did you do outside of the PT office, right? Taking a full deep dive into that. And it's great to talk to someone when they're crushing it. And that's fun and exciting. And I'm all for it. It's more relatable and ultimately, I think, more beneficial to the listener to hear what the pros do when things aren't going exactly how they would have scripted it beforehand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you could even go down to a micro level like that. So like, you know, we could talk about how great such and such race was, but you really learn so much more when everything falls apart, you know?
and how they frame things.
Right.
So Kira ran at the Texas qualifier and she came in second, ran really, really good race. It was extremely humid.
Oh, that's right.
But the woman who won smoked her. She ran like a German record in the 10K. I mean, she ran incredibly well. So it's just, who's Kira? Who does she compare herself to? Does she compare herself to like the eight women who are behind her who are all excellent runners?
Right.
Or does she compare herself to the person who beat her in that race? And how does she frame how that experience went, right? Because then the person who came in third would have been like, hey, Kira ran great. She smoked me.
Yeah.
And that person's an elite runner. So how do they frame it? How do they look at their competition and their performances?
Are you ready to finally get away? Would you love the opportunity to learn one-on-one with the Runners Connect coaches? Get hands-on strength training, running form and stretching sessions, enjoy fabulous runs, and connect with runners who get you? Then you'll be just as excited as we are that our wildly popular running retreats are finally back. Our 4 and 5 day retreats offer you an intimate, informative, relaxing, and amazing running experience that's also affordable. For those that want to experience some of the most amazing running trails in the U.S., including the Grand Canyon, then our 5 day retreat to Flagstaff, Arizona, July 7th to 11th, is right up your alley. Our second camp this summer is a unique trip to Boston to tour the Boston Marathon course, July 15th to 18th. It's the perfect opportunity to preview the course if you're running in October, or run the course for the first time if you qualified and the race was canceled. You don't need to have qualified for Boston to join us. Now, keep in mind, these retreats are not for elite runners. They are for runners like you who love running and just want to improve. Most of our attendees are between 40 and 70 years young and range in ability from Boston qualifiers to those who are looking to break 3 hours for the half marathon, or those who are just getting started. To see all the dates, accommodations, prices, photos, and other details, head to runnersconnect.net/retreats. Of course, we'll be following all local health protocols, and we have 100% refund policy if we need to cancel the camp for health reasons. We hope you're able to join us for one of these amazing retreats. Again, that's runnersconnect.net/retreats to learn more.
So who does she compare herself to? Does she compare herself to like the eight women who are behind her who are all excellent runners?
Right.
Or does she compare herself to the person who beat her in that race? And how does she frame how that experience went? Right. Because then the person who came in third would be like, hey, Kira ran great. She smoked me.
Yeah.
And that person's an elite runner. So how do they frame it? How do they look at their competition and their performances?
Yeah. I had someone on the show, I'm blanking on who it was, a sports psychologist, I believe, who said that the person who wins gold is obviously the happiest, but the person who wins bronze is actually the second happiest because they're just so happy to make it on the podium. And the person who wins silver is usually the most distraught because that gold just like slips between their fingers. So it sounds like I'm sure. Well, you'll ask Kira and we'll find out what she says about that, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's next for you? What happens when you break 40?
Oh, I love your optimism, Claire, first of all. Thank you for that. I appreciate it very much. That's a great question. So on my last show, my last Mastering 40 episode, so if someone listens to The Rambling Runner, they'll hear every sixth episode is a Mastering 40 kind of mm-hmm. update. So like Mastering 40 episode, I think 13 comes out, you know, in a couple weeks. So I talked to my running coach, James McCurdy, and I talked to my sports psychologist / just basically morphing into my therapist, Adrian Longelier. And in the last episode, James said, hey, like, you know, basically what you just asked me, like, where do you want to be 2 years from now? Right. So in framing it that way. And even now, I'm still not 100% sure because I have this tug of war with me where I run two marathons. They didn't go well, and for very different reasons. So my first one didn't go well because I was completely undertrained. I just like went into it kind of randomly. The second one didn't go well because it was like a freak random knee injury that happened at mile 21 because I was leaning back going downhill on a course that's very up and down. Mm. And just one of those things, right? Just, it was just a random injury. And that's the way it goes. So part of me wants to get back into it and actually run a marathon that, you know, execute a marathon that I can be proud of. Like I was really proud of the lead up and the training to my mm-hmm. last marathon, which was 10 years ago, I should say. The training went really, really well. And I was very proud of how it went. But the race didn't go the way I wanted. So I want to have that's nice. Hard part is like marathon training is tough.
Yes.
And it's a lot for a family to take on.
It is.
So it's not just me who would be going through this, right? Like it would be my whole family because it's hard to like pop off the couch after the race is over and be like, okay, time to coach Little League.
Right. Exactly. You know, like, sure.
We can't all be Sarah Bishop and, you know, race every weekend and then like get back at it and all of a sudden have all the energy in the world. I'm not one of those people.
Right.
So I'm kind of stuck between two worlds. I think ultimately I do want to run another marathon and I want to do it right. And I don't know. I have a feeling it'll be sooner rather than later because I just kind of keep talking myself into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you knock off that 40-minute 10K, I think you'll be energized to maybe put all that fitness to good use.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Ashamed to waste it.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I don't know when that marathon would be. Lord knows there will be enough fall marathons to choose from, it's going to be like basically like a buffet of marathons in front of every runner.
I know. You know, some people are going to try to do like them all, you know, and fly from London to Chicago and Boston all at once. You know that they're going to do that. I bet you'll have them on your show, huh?
If they do it, they can come on my show, guaranteed.
Okay, cool. Well, before I let you go, Matt, I have a few questions that I ask everyone. And the first one is, if you could go back and talk to yourself when you first started running, what advice would you give yourself?
Consistency. I played college basketball and I'm pretty good from a like just springiness standpoint. Like I can get on the track, even if I'm not that fit, and put together a pretty good track workout compared to where my fitness level is. And when I was first started running, I put way too much stock into that. Mm. And I would go back and be like, hey, let's practice threshold pace. That's where you need to work. That's the consistency you need to be at. Don't take pride in the fact that you can do a pretty good track workout because you didn't work for that. That just happened.
Ah, interesting. What's the greatest gift that running has given you?
Oh, plenty of opportunities to learn from my mistakes.
I don't think anyone's answered that quite like that. That's a good one. And finally, where can listeners connect with you?
If I'm on social media, it's usually on Instagram. So rambling_runner. If you want to listen to the shows that we talked about, both Rambling Runner and Road to the Trials, they're on every podcast platform, right? I mean, if you're listening to this, you have a podcast platform of choice. So you can go search for it there. And let me know what episodes you like. And even more importantly, if there's someone you'd want to suggest to be on the show, you know, feel free to reach out.
Great. Well, we will have all of that in our show notes. Matt, I am so glad that you could come on the show and ramble about running with me for a little while. It was lots of fun.
Claire, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
So, do you agree that the elites work harder than the rest of us? Sure, the pros are naturally more gifted and they work very, very, very hard. But I know some amateurs that just might give the elites a run for their money. Sorry, bad pun. I would like to agree with what Matt said initially, that we all have a lot more in common than we are different. And in all honesty, I'm glad I don't run for a living. The pressure to perform at the highest level is something that I just really can't relate to. I mean, I remember being so nervous before this one local half marathon that I thought I was going to be sick before the race started. At the time, I was just starting to figure out that I was pretty good at running, and so I put a ton of pressure on myself to do really, really well at that race. I mean, there's literally no good reason to feel that way at all. No one else cared. But yet, I couldn't help it. I can't even imagine what that feeling must be like when everybody really is watching. Anyway, I love chatting with Matt, and I hope you check out his shows, The Rambling Runner and The Road to the Trials, wherever you get your podcasts. And you never know, you just might find me popping up over there on one of his shows sometime soon. If you've listened this far without fast-forwarding, you must be a true fan. So please take a second when you get back from your run to show your love with a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow me on Instagram at The Planted Runner, get running and nutrition tips from me at theplantedrunner.com. You can also join my group of favorite listeners each Friday by signing up for the Elite Treatment at runnersconnect.net/podcast. Want even more good stuff? Pop on over to runnersconnect.net, where we have coaching plans that fit every runner and every budget. Runners Connect is on Instagram and YouTube at Runners Connect, and we post video clips of the run to the top every week. That's it for me, Claire Bartholik, the Planted Runner. Have a great run today.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.